Kim, you've been talking about white-tailed deer and caribou and the research that you've been doing. What is the relationship between deer and caribou to the extent that they are a cause for concern?
I guess in the most basic form, the major linker is wolves. And so you get more deer on the landscape, that's more food for wolves, which then can allow for more wolves. And even though caribou aren't the key component of a wolf's diet, more wolves means just more incidental predation on caribou. And of course, caribou are a threatened species, and so any increases to that is cause for concern.
Well, are there increases in the deer population or where they are?
Yeah, a number of students kind of before my time have shown increases in deer in the northeast region of Alberta. This is from aerial survey data, from government recorded data. And kind of from the 60s into kind of after the 80s, you start to see a lot more deer in the northeast region. And they went up through the western region of the province even before that, so between the 40s and the 60s. Two students in Stan's lab, one coming 10 years after the other, showed a fourfold increase in white-tailed deer in the northeast region of the province. And so, you know, not to mention that anybody who's out in the boreal Alberta has probably recognized it themselves. And so we are seeing more deer on the landscape and in places that they never were before.
Now, why is that? What's influencing that broadening of their range?
So that's actually the major question for my PhD. Two of the main working hypotheses are that land use is increasing the amount of food on the landscape for deer who eat kind of early successional species, so that low-lying brush that first grows up. And so, you know, you get agriculture, which is high-quality and abundant food. You get forestry cut blocks, which provide good food at certain parts of the regrowth stages. And then the energy sector has, you know, lines going through the bush, again, through regrowth and some planting on those lines that provide food. Alternatively, in the winter, deer are under a lot of energetic stress, where they typically have limited food, so that could be that issue on that side. But in the winter, they lose a lot of energy just moving through deep snow and thermoregulating from cold temperatures. And so if climate is changing on a scale that's appropriate for deer in terms of less snow, warmer temperatures, and shorter winters, then that leads us to a climate change hypothesis. And so I'm kind of looking at these two major questions and how they might interact as possible answers to that question.
Well, what have you found out so far?
A little bit of everything so far, actually. Because agriculture is such a large-scale regional change, the expectation was that perhaps that's providing sources for spread into the boreal. And I looked at that and how forestry cut blocks might influence that. And what I'm seeing is that, yes, you get a spread into the boreal where the numbers don't drop off as you go further from agriculture if you have forestry cut blocks. But if you don't have the cut blocks, then that kind of spread drops off rather quickly. And so I'm seeing some interactions there. But even within that data analysis, there's a difference between the southern and northern part of the province that I'm currently investigating to see if it's related to the severity of winters and the type of climate that we have in those two regions. There are also some links with the energy sector footprint in terms of seismic lines, which are laid down for exploration of oil under the ground, basically. And I'm finding selection for deer for areas with higher linear feature densities on the landscape. So where you have a lot more lines, we're seeing that there's a higher chance of seeing deer there.
Well, what gaps are there? What are your next steps for the research?
My next steps are to try and differentiate, I guess, which of all of these factors are the key drivers and how do they interact. So I'm putting it essentially all together into a bigger spread type analysis where I'm looking at, you know, where and when did deer move through the province in relation to how climate has changed in the province, how agriculture, forestry, and energy sector have spread. So again, specific to time and space to try and piece out the relative contributions of each of these factors.
Now, how would this then sort of tie into what the Integrated Landscape Management Program is trying to get at, and more specifically into what we can do to conserve caribou populations, which I understand are in dire straits right now?
And so I guess I fit into the ILM group in that, you know, obviously my research involves industry and government. And so it's been fantastic to have their support because it means that we get their data as well, you know, data that they have on where and when they change the landscape. In terms of the caribou conservation, my work will try to inform management of white-tailed deer that can then be applied to these caribou ranges. And so just for example, I'm finding this link between deer and linear feature density. And so, you know, we need to investigate that a little bit more, but you can start to look at, you know, where you might want to reclaim linear features or how you might want to reclaim them. And where do you target? Do you look at peatland habitats, which is where caribou are, or do you look at sort of a fringe between the upland where more of the deer are, and then kind of leave the peatlands alone? So it's sort of targeting where management action might be able to be most effective.
Thank you very much, Kim.
Thank you.